May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. One of my favorite experiences this Christmas was taking my son Asher, who is biracial, to visit the Black Santa at the Cincinnati Art Museum. The place was packed to the gills with gleeful black and brown children, so excited to see a Santa who looked like them. Art by famous black artists, including Kehinde Wiley and Kara Walker, lined the long corridor where the children waited to have their turn with the jolly old elf. Yet another opportunity for Asher and the other children to see elements of their culture, their bright and beautiful heritage, on display. As the saying goes, and I believe, representation matters. I believe that by exposing Asher to people and events that celebrate black culture and the black experience, he will learn to celebrate and cherish his identity all the more. The event was put on by an organization called the Voice of Black Cincinnati, which said that by following their Facebook page, patrons would in a few days be able to see photos of the event, their children with Santa Claus. So, of course, I liked their page on Facebook, and I refreshed the feed every hour to wait and see when these photos would appear, because it was very chaotic, and I didn't get a chance to snap a good photo with my own cell phone. Eventually, the photos were uploaded, and they were magical. And I continued to follow this Facebook page so that I could see if there were more events that might be of interest to my family. What I would later learn after a few days of following the Voice of Black Cincinnati on Facebook is that the page also serves as a platform to inform and educate local people about the pandemic of gun violence happening in our city. By sharing photos and personal details of individuals that have been killed by gun violence, the platform puts faces and names to an issue that we often hear about in abstract terms. Here are two of the posts that happened this week after I began to follow the page. On Christmas morning, Desire Costin was found in the 400 block of West 9th Street near the Gateway Plaza, suffering from a gunshot wound. She was transported to University of Cincinnati Medical Center, and on December 28th, she succumbed to her injuries. The 16-year-old attended Western Hills High School. Such a tragedy. Please pray for the Costin family as they grieve the loss of their loved one. On December 19th, at approximately 2:15 p.m., shots were reported in the 3700 block of Glenway Avenue. Shortly thereafter, two victims arrived by private conveyance to Good Samaritan Hospital. One victim, Lacey Florence, died from her injuries. She was 28 years old. Miss Florence attended Aiken High School and the University of Toledo. She also worked as an environmental health and safety professional at GE Aviation. Most importantly, she was a daughter, sister, niece, and cousin. So initially, I followed this page to see photos of my elated son with Santa. But after a few days of following, it was clear, as much as I wanted to just click that unfollow button, that I needed to tune in and not to avert my gaze when the content got heavier and more heartbreaking than I realized it would. I am compelled to believe that in order to stand in solidarity with the Desire Costins and Lacey Florences of the world, I must not turn away from the pain, but rather turn towards it. I must not be a person who says with a resigned sigh that gun violence is what it is, but rather someone who takes to heart that silence on the matter only increases the scope of the violence. Taking my cue from the young activists at the Parkland shooting and brave, courageous coalitions in our nation's urban centers who have been saying for far too long that what has become normal must not become acceptable, we must believe that another world is possible, that safety and security can prevail for our young people, and especially for our young people of color. I must hold fast to the dream of God's kingdom amidst the world's deadly realities. Some Christmas sermon this is, I bet you're thinking. Where's the merriment and the cheer? But the truth is, in today's gospel, Joseph too clings to a kingdom dream amidst violent realities. Joseph's dream, in which an angel of the Lord instructs him to flee with Mary and the baby Jesus to take refuge in Egypt, reminds us that the world into which Jesus was born was incredibly violent. The nativity story in Matthew's gospel reinforces that Herod was out for blood, and that while Jesus was his target, there was untold collateral damage. And yet, regardless of the macabre themes that we are asked to grapple with this morning, I would venture to say that today's gospel is one that puts on full display what goodness can come when we put faith over fear and when we trust in God's promises. Joseph did not succumb to his fear, but rather had faith that God would fulfill the commitment that God had made to keep the Holy Family safe from harm so that Jesus could grow and mature in order to fulfill what had been prophesied about him. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Where Herod's fear of the status quo being upended set the tone, Joseph's faith wagered that something new and different was transpiring. What I glean from this account of Joseph's faith is that to live into the kingdom of safety and security that we each so desire for ourselves, for our loved ones, for our neighbors, we must be willing to co-create with God. That is, just as Joseph dreamed of a land of refuge and then traveled there with his family despite the risk, we must be willing to dream of God's kingdom, the refuge that will exist and can exist for all people, and then to work to make that place of refuge a reality. It's not enough simply to wish and pray that things might be different, but we must put both our faith and our action behind the change that the world so desperately needs. In the words of the late Desmond Tutu, we have an extraordinary God. God is a mighty God, but this God needs you. When someone is hungry, bread doesn't come down from heaven. When God wants to feed the hungry, you and I must work to feed the hungry. And now, says Tutu, God wants peace in the world. Indeed, we are not obligated to live in a society bound up by violence and destruction. Instead, we, as followers of the Prince of Peace, are called to be harbingers of new life. To some, this may involve donating money to causes that seek to literally disarm our communities, teaching our children how to resolve conflicts peaceably, not turning away from news stories that tell of these tragedies, but instead staying with the suffering for a time, petitioning our public officials to enact laws that limit access to guns and create opportunities for young people to thrive. These are just some of the many, many ways that we can work to bring about peace in our world. David Lotz, reflecting on this morning's text from Matthew, writes that, quote, God is with us, even in the darkest times. And God is also for us, promising not only to accompany us through difficult times, but also to bring us to the other side, that in time we might know the fullness of joy that is life in Christ. End quote. To the other side of the border, where peace prevails, and to a land of refuge for all people. This is not only our hope, but it is our commitment as followers of Christ. Into this Christmas season and into this new year, let that be our anchor and our acclamation to bring peace to earth and goodwill to all of God's creation. Amen. Amen.